They took Walt.
What do you think of Walt? What'd you do?
This one was different. It came in the building and it just snatched him.
Then we should just go.
Hold on a sec. Am I the only one who saw those photos?
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Greetings, one and all, and welcome back to FilmSack, the show that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. We cover mining and mining issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is episode 413. I'm Scott Johnson, and apparently have an
Take
issue.
Two.
It's time for us to get deep in this, everybody. Joining me today, Brian, everyone in Hollywood is a dick, Dunaway.
Bunch of dicks walking around. Oh, hi. And welcome to the Skyline Helpline Hotline, where you have questions, and we have, hey, is that dog wearing a sweater vest? How may I help you today? Why are the aliens here? Oh, the answer to that is easy. Say, what exactly does Terry T. Money Scrubs do for a living anyway? I mean, sure, he's rich and famous, but what does he do? I mean, really do, besides his assistants? Ha! You still have questions? Okay. I'm here for you. Why are the aliens stealing our brains? Excellent question. And if I had a brain, I'd tell you. Hey, what's the deal with that concierge? How come he's the only one who seems to have his crap together? Except when it comes to lighting fancy rich people cigarette lighters. Should have brought his own Zippo. Nailed it. Next. Why is this movie called Skyline? Listen, kid, go away. You're bothering me. After this crap job, I have to head over to the brain processing plant and put brains in alien mechs for 12 hours. Hey, look, pretty lights. Ooh, out.
It's like haiku or something. It's really good.
It is, yes.
Nice fun. Job.
This movie was great material.
Yeah, yes. We'll get to all that. Also with us, Randy, Blue Sky Poops. Sorry. Blue Sky Poops should be avoided at all costs. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. I have a poem for you. I wrote a poem. I wrote a poem for you.
Okay.
This is called Jared.
Let's hear it.
Looking out to the ridge, spacecraft filling the air, like Kirk on his bridge, lens flare. Dr. Turk being naughty, taking pictures. How dare? You're gonna get caught. Lens flare. Super high-tech space farers with a slimy, gross lair. Badass armor, but weak to axes? Lens flare. Jared? You're making me scared. Jared? Lens flare.
I love
it. Also great. Oh my gosh.
Why not Scared? I think Scared would have been funnier.
Scared. That's a good point. Should have ended with Scared.
Listen.
You can't tell the poet what to do. That's what
this is true, yes. Okay.
I counted the number of times the name Jared was said in this movie. And it was exactly three times as many times as I just said it.
Yeah. Jeez. No, it's a good point. Since 2010, there have only been three kids named Jared. So they really got people sick.
And one of them got a diamond emporium.
That's right.
Jared. And one of them went to jail.
Oh, and one of them lost his microphone. Is on a room.
One of them went to jail.
There he goes.
There I am. And one of them went to jail.
Nice. Well done. Also, and finally with us, Brian.
Hey,
Brian, and yet he keeps staring at the blue light ibbot.
Hey, come on down to Dimitri's Discount Telescope Store. You looking for a telescope that you can hook up to television to spy on neighbors getting frisky? Oh, Bujamoy, he's a homosexual. You looking for a telescope that can track high-speed drone battle on other side of city? That doesn't exist, but you can move your hands really fast to keep up with drones. How about state-of-the-art telescope that makes your view from 20th floor of apartment building feel like you're 100 miles north of San Fernando Valley? Again, no such thing exists, but we have telescopes.
Oh, I like the focus on the telescopes because you you really brought out my least favorite weird device in the film. Like, yeah. That thing was so stupid.
It really was so stupid. It was like used so unnecessarily.
Yeah, I hated it. Yeah.
Just open the blinds, fool. If you're going to look at it, it's going to be the same either way.
There's a billion tropes here. Like, I want to start unpacking them one by one. There's so
much. You have questions?
Sure. There you go. That's like a weird multi-trope. Hold on. No, that doesn't work for
me. Okay, I thought I was having some Skype or something.
I did too.
Okay, here you go. I got it. We'll go.
There you go.
Nice big four alarmer. Yeah, the movie's got all kinds of convenient tropes. Here's the funny thing. All right, people at home, we're talking about Skyline from 2010. It's important to say that because there's a whole bunch of other movies called Skyline that have nothing to do with this, including a sequel to this.
Except for the sequel, right?
Yeah, there was a direct-to-video streaming sequel in 2017 that I didn't even know existed.
And apparently another sequel in the works called Skylines.
No way, really?
And no way, yes. Get out of here. Oh, I was kidding Lord. About that last week.
Okay, well,
Skylines.
I think I get it because, this is one story and plot and character-wise, easily one of the dumbest movies we've ever seen. Like, really, quite literally, like, this is not exaggerating. This is really, really bad stuff when it comes to that. Special effects-wise, one of the best movies we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So,
this movie feels like Instagram made a movie.
Yeah, kind of. And in a way, they did. Like, the it brothers...
It does feel like a YouTube Red original.
A little bit.
It felt to me like a $100 million condo building in Santa Monica made a movie.
Well, and it did, right?
Like made the movie.
There's a great story about that because the directors, so they're brothers. These are called the Brothers Strauss. That's what they go by. But it's Colin and Greg Strauss. They're known for their effects house, and they do effects work for every movie you've ever heard of. Like, they're all up in everything, and so they do have some prowess and some, you know,
fantastic at it.
They commit this with some actual skill there, but the rest of it they're terrible at. But anyway, the brothers Strauss live in that condo complex and talked the whoever into letting them use it.
So they decided, hey, let's make a sci-fi movie, but let's not leave the house.
Yeah,
let's
basically. Just
okay, so that part is just, and there's several parts of this movie that are just straight up Cloverfield again.
Yeah.
But that part is the most Cloverfield again part of the film, which is we don't have to go very far or do anything to have a movie take place sort of all around us, you know?
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And it feels like it's one of those movies where, how do I explain this? Like, some movies you'll see, like a movie that's like Die Hard, it's set in the same building. But it feels so vast and different. Here are the weird hallways with lots of steam blowing everywhere for no reason. And here's a place where John McClane's trapped in the vent system. And then here's a place where there's an elevator. And there's where they had the party, and it's not finished up on the upper floors. And here's a helicopter pad. Like Die Hard has diversity to Nakatomi Plaza.
Right.
And this and thing also, just this feels also, like they're in the same room constantly. Yeah. It never feels any different.
The Breakfast Club of sci-fi films.
They even wrote the story so that they teased you with getting out of the room, and then you just come right back.
So
to
that's
the room.
That's a trope. A huge trope in this film is we have to make it to the boat. And I wanted the movie to stop and give you options. Like, will they make it to the boat? Will they not make it to the boat? Will they not even make it outside the building? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on. And the thing is, I mean, Ibbitt's jokingly talking about Breakfast Club, but it's actually a pretty good comparison. There's this scene in Breakfast Club where they kind of escape through the, well, what's his name's in the vent telling his joke he never finishes, and then they're always running around the halls for a minute, but it's very brief, and that's kind of what the roof scenes are like in this. Like, they get out there for a minute, they have an axe, there's a bunch of weird shit going on, and then they're usually back in the room, but the only exception is and we'll get to it. We shouldn't jump to it right now, but that ending is one of the most bizarre, out of left field, didn't expect it endings.
And the most potential for a good movie. It's like, hey, look, what we could have given you.
Yeah, I kind of liked the ending. Movie. I'm not going to lie. I actually think I liked the ending.
I'm going to quibble with your use of the word good there, only because I don't think it's, well, it's just like, oh yeah, there's a lot of potential. Yes, I agree with that. In like other people's hands, other cast, crew, filmmakers, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I get that the ending is way more ambitious than the rest of the film. It's just you have to watch the first 98% of this horrible film to get that ending, and then it feels so disconnected. You're just like, it does. What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I compare it to Dusk Till Dawn the minute the vampire showed up.
Yes,
just like, whoa, wait a minute. What movie was this, and what are we now watching? Right. And the only the only continuous through line is that, well, it's still aliens. But the fact that
those characters.
Yeah, and the fact that they took us in there and just went all out. Like, he is the strangest, weirdest. There's a little Matrix in there. There's a little bit of, I don't know what to compare all that to.
It absolutely felt like the Matrix 100%, because I'm like, holy crap, this is an out-of-body experience. I want to know why the aliens are putting our brains in their alien mech things. I want to know what is going on.
Yeah.
And a tiny little part of my poem was a reference to this trope of these aliens have incredible powers. Like, they have developed technology beyond our wildest dreams, mm-hmm. and they're so freaking dirty and slimy.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems I have, Randy, with when aliens are portrayed, because they give you this technology they're using, and a lot of it looks like advanced human technology, but they're not creatures designed to do human technology. So how do these aliens create this technology they have? It just doesn't seem
well,
right.
And I'm okay with that, though, if you're gonna give me some world building and let me kind of let my imagination go. And I think this movie gets up to the edge of that and then goes away, and it doesn't serve it very well to do that. I think it would have been more fun to give me hints and things that would have made me have logical conclusions about why they're here, why they harvest humans, why do they need our brains? Can't they build these things without, like, why are human brains required for this?
And right. And why can you pull a brain out of the back of an alien, and then 5 minutes later he jumps back up? I'm like, what is going on?
That was pretty crazy. Yeah. I don't know where to start with this freaking thing. When I talked to Ibbot about it yesterday. Let me talk about this thing. So I had this conversation with Ibbot, and he says yesterday, and Ibbot, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said, I hated this movie. And I said, and then he said, really?
So good.
Yeah, and he says, it's one of those that you'd almost want to forfeit or veto. Yeah. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah, but also sometimes when I felt that way, it turns out there was a lot of discussion. And so I was like, well, you've seen it. Let's not, make you watch a second movie in the last 12 hours of our Tell's Film Sack. So there was that hovering over this thing. And as I watched it, I realized, oh, yeah, he's right in every way. This is not a good movie by any stretch. It's just not. But it has this ability every once in a while to stick something in there that makes me go, ooh, more of that. Why don't you go there more? Mm-hmm. Why don't you do this more? And even the ending, as ridiculous as it is as a sort of dessert to the other dinner you had, it kind of just made me want more of it. Like, oh my gosh, why don't we go deeper into this?
Right. That's the thing about actually having like some substance, right?
Right.
The film, it's not like the movie is a look at modern special effects in 2010. It's actually got characters, and they have interactions with each other and a plot and so forth. Like, it's not like it's devoid of film. But like my example for how this movie is just so poorly crafted is, if you told the story just in the order that it happens, the beginning of the movie would be super, super boring. We open on an airplane. An impossibly attractive looking couple is traveling to Los Angeles. We don't know why. And she looks like she's going to be sick. Like, no. So they have to start with the actual invasion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then go back to that.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, so you're saying to me that you have a whole sequence that's boring AF, and you have to like, and so now that's what I'm watching. Okay, all right.
No, that's interesting because they didn't need it. You know, it's a common thing for people to do this whole crazy cold open. And then 12 hours earlier.
12 hours earlier. Yes, yeah. I'm so sick. I'm getting so sick of
I'm
that.
Sick of those too, but they've been used in much better ways. And this is just useless. It's not, it doesn't, don't need it. Just start with the plane.
I like land. I like to spin back around to what Ibbot had to say. And then I'm going to tell Ibbot how I got through the movie.
All right.
Okay. All right.
What were you going to say? Right. You were going to say something.
So, Ibbot, Sky had mentioned about how, you know, vetoing and getting through the movie and then.
Oh, and I was about to say, yes. Okay, so I was going to mention that, kind of even piggybacking on what we were saying earlier, that stuff that takes place in the alien spaceship with, you know, the what's her face, pregnant girl, and the ripping out of the brains and Jared becoming brain.
What's her face?
Alien, Jared becoming Jared?
Yeah, rock,
yeah, Jared
rock
becoming
man.
Jared.
Yeah.
Halfway through the film, if that would have happened, I think it would have been a much better film.
Like, totally agree.
Attack, have the apartment building stuff, have the dude who spent 18 seasons not figuring out that Dexter was a serial killer.
Right.
I like that guy, though.
Less Cloverfield,
Less Cloverfield. And let's go into the spaceship and have this thing, you know, where, all right, he's the brain inside that thing and he's aware. Okay, I like this. Do more of this.
Mm-hmm. Or can I also suggest more Cloverfield? There were aspects of Cloverfield that kept me in suspense because I literally could not figure out where it was all going. And this movie was like, oh no, now we're going to show you the medium-sized alien. Now we're going to show you the large alien. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're totally right. I mean, but I liked the first time we got the big walking, almost organic alien, the huge ones that killed the doctor from Scrubs.
Right, the car smashing alien.
Yeah, those were super cool. And watching the shots at night when it's trumping through the streets and they, you know, jumps through the pool and stuff, that all looked really good. And also trumping isn't a word, and I regret saying
it. It is now.
I'm into just some blatant on the sleeve special effects porn. You know, like go for the throat here, make it look good. 2010 is now nearly, 10 years ago. And, that is 10 years. No, 2019 is more.
almost
20 years, or almost 10 years ago. And it feels really new. It didn't look old and dated to me. Those effects hold up, in my opinion. And I think they are interesting and they're just nebulous enough to make me go, ooh, why is the big ship like Wolverine? It can heal itself. Right. That's cool. It took a nuke.
The parade. I enjoyed the parade of monsters they had going on. It reminded me a lot of Starship Troopers in that aspect.
A little bit.
I always enjoy those kind of movies. Mm-hmm. Now, the way I got through this, Ibbot, movie, is I pretty early on shifted gears. The first thing they really introduced to us is Elaine, the Jared's girl. She's throwing up. Obviously, she's pregnant, right?
Right. Yeah. That's so telegraphed in now. Right. Now we've just expected. Oh, woman's throwing up. She's pregnant.
Yeah, right. That was right after the initial shot, which was of these alien lights landing on the ground. And immediately when I saw that, it reminded me of all those science films that I watched where human semen, like sperm, going down and hitting the surface of the egg. And so right away I was thinking, I was already in the mindset that this movie is going to be an allegory about the alienation of how a woman feels when she first gets pregnant and the first trimester of pregnancy, is beauty, pains, and unknowns. So I kind of put all of that wrapped it, and I kind of went in that angle.
Yeah.
And so
then you went.
Yeah.
Then you
how'd
went,
that work out for you?
Yeah.
Right. It worked out okay because I was like, okay, this is working okay.
Disagree.
Disagree as well. They did. Hey, if that was their job, they did a terrible job.
You can't disagree with my personal take
on
how I enjoy a movie.
No. But I'm not saying that. I'm not
way of getting through it though. That's a hilarious. Like, you talk about a quarter pound of sugar to help the medicine go down.
Oh, that's a lot of sugar too.
But it's also a tablespoon of vanilla ice cream added to a bucket of shit doesn't make it into any measurable percentage of ice cream.
Look, going in, I knew this. I could tell from the outside this was going to be crap. So I had to find a way to digest it.
I want to applaud you there because I there were moments where I was enjoying this movie and I thought to myself, oh no, I'm going to just be sitting here like, feeling like I've never seen movies. I don't know how to talk about movies. Like, what am I doing? How am I allowing myself? And I realized that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it's totally fine to find a reason that you like a plot. You know what I mean? Like I'm just saying that the allegory that you brought up didn't resonate with me at all.
Where it works for me is when there was stuff trying to get them and they were trying to not be got. And that was great. No problem. Good action, nice suspense, really good sound work, creepy sounding aliens with, you know, intense moments of those things really grabbed that old man and pulled him in hard. Like that kind of stuff is cool. It was fine with me. Like all of that was fine. It's just anytime they had a down moment and they could sit and have a chat that I wanted to poke my eyes out and eat glass. Like they were so bad.
It's too bad because we got Eric Balfour, who is amazing to look at. He's such a screen presence, in my opinion.
Is that the one that looks like Scott Baio's little twin brother?
Yeah.
Okay. The one that looks like the devil from a pack of bicycle playing cards.
Yes, he's the devil. He basically looks like
other people do get the Scott Baio look, right?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I don't like the mustache thing he's got rocking, and I liked him on 24.
Oh my gosh, that wasn't a mustache.
Whatever it was. It was a little bit of like a John Waters
smear. That was chocolate milk. Come on.
Alien goo on his upper lip. Yeah.
I was really glad to see anything Brittany Daniel does. I've loved her since Joe Dirt in that 80s show. I don't know if you ever watched that brief follow up to that 70s show. It was called
the
80s show.
Blonde one.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the
Brittany, she's Candace. She's the one that was getting cheated on. She was dating T-Money.
She's the alcoholic who wanted to smoke in front of the pregnant lady.
Yeah, and for me it's Donald Faison. Donald Faison cannot do any wrong. And I feel like he has such amazing chemistry with anyone, and it's like, "Oh, this is so sad for as an actor though because he's forced to play the friend in Clueless, the friend in Scrubs, right? Right? He's not like the main thing." And in this movie, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, he gonna die.
Yeah, he's gonna die. Yeah, he literally, by the way, this is a throwback to 2009 film sack. Black guy died first. Straight up.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, of the main characters.
Of the characters, he's out.
Like, he wasn't the first to die for sure. We saw lots of people die before that. But as they split up into the cars, I was like, oh no, don't split up. Don't split up. Oh no, the people who split up are gonna die. And it's just straight up.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's good. He's compelling and an interesting actor. I also think Daniel Zayas, who plays Oliver, who's the one Brian was talking about from Dexter, is a compelling dude. I think his job
I like him a lot.
Yeah, his job in movies and TV should always just be he's the detective's partner. That's just kind of how I see him. But in this, it's okay. He's kind of a slime ball, lives in the upper floor. Don't know what he does, but now that the poop's hit the fan, he's got to kind of try to take charge or whatever. But when they were in his apartment or wherever they were, where they had the telescope, I don't know whose apartment that was supposed to be or whose condo.
It was always Dr. Turk's apartment, the entire thing.
Exactly. Okay, so that was Turk's thing. Deal. All right. So that thing in Dr. Turk's apartment.
The greatest party centerpiece ever created. Let's start looking around. You guys all watch the TV. I'll find us something good to watch.
Uh-huh. We'll scan around for people getting BJs.
And by the way, if you were that rich, you'd have one of those telescopes that hooks up to the TV. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't just make people walk over and look through.
That's right. I agree. Anyway, the point is, like, that room sucked because it was just one disappointing moment after one euphoric moment after another. So they would have this like, oh, here come the drones. They're going to do good. Oh, the drones are doing bad. Oh, here comes a stealth fighter is going to get one of those missiles off. And it looks like a mini nuke or something. Oh, sweet. Yeah. It hit the thing. We've done it. We've killed it. Hooray. Oh, it regenerates. Yeah. It was this constant. And I don't mind the action. But I'm like, all right, we get it. None of this is going to work out. And in fact, it doesn't really work out for the best in the end. It's bad. They both get sucked up into the thing. Everyone else seemed to get sucked up really fast. They had enough time to sort of, you know, do carousel and make out on their way up. But
So the question really, I mean, that's the way I was feeling too. But I guess in the end, that unknown, everything is scary, but they're not necessarily, they never really say that they kill us. Because we see a lot of our brains getting sucked up and then put into these alien bodies. So we're not Are we technically dead?
Our bodies are dead.
Yeah, our bodies are like basically unless you're pregnant.
But what makes us us? I mean, the brain, right?
Well, even the pregnant ones weren't they doing something to them, extracting the babies or something? And then he stopped the one.
We didn't get that far.
Yeah, we didn't get that far. But the lady, the pregnant lady next to her, seemed like something real gnarly was happening to her.
Oh, she was not happy.
No, and I couldn't tell.
I don't know. Getting sucked into an alien ship and dropped into a pile of headless, brainless.
Right.
I think that's some pretty gnarly. Those
and right. I'm given labor. Great.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's. I think it's
given
something.
Labor.
She was given labor.
Well, I mean, the main chick wasn't. She was having.
No.
She's just nervous.
No, the lady next to her. The lady next to her, like, she was like near full term.
I just wish somebody. I just wish these people were more likable. I found nobody very likable. Even the most likable were kind of unlikable, and so
Jared's
kind of unlikable.
You didn't like David Zayas?
He's fine.
Oliver, the concierge.
No, I mentioned him, and I think he's great as an actor, and I think he's good. I think he's fine here. He's not likable though. Likable in the character, I mean.
He's ready to pop off at a moment's notice at Jared just because Jared, looked into the blue light for too long and has sketchy black stuff on his chest now.
Yeah,
isn't that how you would treat someone who was a zombie, essentially? Because that's what we're looking at here, right?
Yeah, but it seemed like he was against him from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, from the get-go.
Because
he was
part of that loud party. Oh, you're part of that
right.
party.
Yeah,
that's right. That's how I felt too, though. I was totally on David Zayas' side, though. I was like, "Yeah, punks."
I don't like
the high rise building.
I don't like the stereotype of the very old widower who's got a dog attached to him 24/7. There's something about that I don't like. Walt's dog.
I actually thought that was like one of the more humanizing moments in the movie.
It's just so
I felt pretty strong about that. Like there, somebody had an idea for a scene that would actually work and make sense.
It's usually a lady though, right? Like it's rarely is it a dude. It's almost
and
always
of course,
a lady. Yeah.
And of course it doesn't make sense in a technological way. Again, people with super high advanced technology would not cross the vast distances of space and then creep around in your living room so slowly. Oh my God, hurry up.
Yeah,
that's what was making me curious, because if they just wanted to eliminate us, they would just, come through and just burn us down.
Pretty
but they were harvesting.
They didn't have to pick us off one by one.
They were harvesting.
Their species need brains to survive, but not like eating brains like zombies do, but just like taking brains out, noticing the different colors of the brains and then putting them in the appropriate.
This brain is blue.
It was also a little bit all over the place in terms of where the procedure should take place. So the spider one in the garage took that poor freaking milquetoast guy, sucked him in.
Yeah.
They killed it, they thought. And then he gets rebirthed out of it. And she's like, he's alive. And they go get him. And then it comes back to life, grabs him by the head and does the procedure. But then later I'm like, oh, wait, this is all automated up here in the big ship. What are they doing? Why were they? What was the one off in the garage?
Right.
Was that to freak everyone
they
out?
They like squirrel those away like in their little cheeks and carry them back up. Or,
I don't know. The little vagina face in the front.
That was, little squirrel those things away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down there.
It's like a little recliner in there. Like it's perfectly.
And if you're
maybe
gonna,
the movie should be called Recline instead of Skyline.
Right.
But if you're gonna just like look for all these inconsistencies, you're gonna have a really bad time, because it's.
Oh, yeah.
It's really not a movie that cares about lining up its science fiction. Mm. It just doesn't. Mm. We're trying to present you with these awesome special effects and sound design. There's great sound design in this movie. It's like, we're not going to give a lot of thought to how these aliens are so freaking amazing and fast and powerful, and a woman kills one with an axe. Like, we're just not going to think about that.
Yeah, and again, I'm okay with that to some level, but I just think the technical level here is high enough that it made me want them to align it more, and it wouldn't have mattered in a lesser movie. Like in this one, because the tech end was so well done, but then everything else was so not well done, that it made the tech really stand out. So I was like, okay, well, what I really want is not to talk to you people. I want to see more about where these aliens come from, what they do and why they're doing it, or at the very least, I want to see some just weirder shit. And they gave that to me in the end, because that got real weird at the end. And I came away happier as a result, because the ending, like I said earlier, the ending is really something. Like it's just
the ending is something.
It makes me want to watch part two.
Yeah. Right. And you get the, did you guys, I know Netflix likes to start recommending the next thing for you to watch immediately. Jerks. And the little screen or the big screen then squishes down the little screen. Did you go back up and watch the little screen?
No.
Because
what happened?
Oh, yes.
No. I did.
The between the credits. So basically it was like they show a credit and then it's like a 3D rendered scene of new Jared X beating the crap out of an alien, and really? Then they show it. Another credit, and then it's like Jared X beating the crap out of another alien.
One wow. of the Thank one of Netflix. The film, one of the filmmakers has like a cousin that came along and was like, "Hey, I've been doing some really good, 3D graphic design. You want?" And they're like, "Hey, why don't you storyboard for us a few more scenes that happen after this right. movie, and we'll just throw them on the credits?" That's well, what happened.
Look at their.
Why don't you make the best part of this movie? And then we'll just relegate it to the end credit sequence.
I mean, what you should do here. Okay, so I'm just going to roll through these credits. These brothers share the same credits, not directorial. We'll talk just visual effects for a second. They started with Black Sheep somehow. That's a weird thing.
Black Sheep, the
yes.
Chris Farley, David Spade.
The Chris really? Farley, David Spade movie, which is super weird. But then they started to go with stuff you would look at and go, oh, yeah, lots of special effects. They went Nutty Professor, Volcano, Titanic, The X-Files, Blue Streak, Galaxy Quest. Let's see. I'm going to skip some of these because they're small.
And we're not saying they were the directors or writers or filmmakers. They were working their way up in the effects and processing.
Yeah, they're the effects guys. So they have like 3D effects supervisor, head of 3D for episode one of Band of Brothers, which is weird. But then they start really going hard here, like, let's see, Terminator 3, Constantine, XXX State of the Union. Now they're visual effects supervisors, meaning they're in charge of everything, and they do everything from 300 to X-Men, a bunch of the X-Men movies, three or four of the X-Men movies, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, X-Men Origins, Wolverine, The Incredible Hulk from 2008, Edward Norton. Avengers. They were the effects supervisors over Avengers and a bunch of MCU stuff. X-Men Apocalypse. Most recently, Rampage, Geostorm, Baywatch, Rampage, President Down, whatever the hell that is.
Oh, that's the new one, right? It's the next one, right?
Is it? Maybe it's not done yet. But anyway, my point is, like, they got chops. Like, they do. They're hired for everything big, and this was their chance to go. Yeah, what if we did a thing? Me and you, come on, brother, let's make a deal. And they made a thing.
You could argue that maybe this was intended to be more of a showreel. Like, mm-hmm. let's make something that we could just use as a showreel. Let's not waste any time on storyline or plot or anything like that, but let's go ahead and make something that we can put on our resume to show people, hey, here's the kind of special effects we can do.
It's not a bad call. Like, that's kind of what this feels like, and maybe that's what it acted like for them, maybe that helped them in that way or whatever.
The best part of the trivia for this for me was filming only cost $500,000 while the digital effects cost an additional $10 million.
Yeah
True story.
It's not surprising,
so
right?
That means they didn't pay Eric Balfour and Scotty Thompson and all Brittany Daniels no money.
They paid them, like, it sounds like they got paid nicely.
Scale.
Like, right. Above scale, but I'm just saying, like, I could see Dr. Turk going and saying, you know, I'll take $85,000 for 5 days of acting, you know, in your stupid condo. Like, come on.
Yeah, really.
I'll get squished for that. No problem.
Like, and by the way, we're going to actually just put you up at the condo while we're filming. Is that cool?
Wow. Yeah. Story.
In fact, you'll literally be in my spare room. You'll be in my
That's
spare
the
room.
Thing. Like, usually, and the thing that kind of turned me off about this movie is I've gotten used to actors acting and having, like, space to really find characters and lines and so on. And this really felt every scene like someone said to them 5 minutes before, you're going to stand over here. We're going to put the cameras right here. You're going to say this and you're going to say that. Okay. And then they did it. And then we're like, all right, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every single time someone was talking, that's how it felt. Unrehearsed.
So Faison. Right. Faison should have, this was during the wrap up of Scrubs. So he must have, like, he rolled right out of this right into this film.
Scrubs
so,
ended in 2010. I didn't know that.
That's yeah, 2010. Yeah, March 17th, 2010.
I always think of that as a 90s only thing, and it was done before the 2000s, but I know that's not right.
True, yeah.
It's just in my head.
I forget that Malcolm in the Middle was later. it always felt much earlier.
Oh, yeah. That always felt like a 90s thing to me, too. Wow.
Yeah. Malcolm in the Middle is newer than people think. I mean, it kind of ended, and then and then Walter White shows up in Breaking Bad. Like, it was literally like a week later he got the other job. But it doesn't feel like that. It feels like such a different era. But so they, you're right about them spending what they spent. It was also completely financed by the brothers Strauss.
We got this.
They had no assistance from a major studio, which may explain some of the problems with it. But also, I don't know, whatever. It's their little passion project. And it was shot entirely at co-director Greg Strauss's condo building adjacent to Marina Del Rey, but technically located in the city limits of Venice, Los Angeles. By the way, I agree with the girl that said, I hate LA. I agree. I hate LA.
I think it was actually kind of cool. Like the setting, one of you referred to it as Hollywood earlier, but it's like, it was far away from Hollywood as you can get in Los Angeles.
No, that's
like,
a good point.
They had this view of Los Angeles, you know, like they're from a distance. Yeah. And I genuinely thought they were going to cross the street and get in a boat. Like I really did. Yeah. And it was a letdown that they didn't, because it would have had this symbolism of them getting even farther away from LA and they didn't.
And then you'll find out the aliens are allergic to water or something weird. And
that, yeah, exactly.
I felt like that's where we're going. Yeah. I was worried.
For the record, I love LA as long as I don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah. If you don't have to drive there. And by the way, there's a shot earlier when they got to the airport and they're now in a limo getting driven to Turk's house. And they show this helicopter shot of the car, and there's music playing from the 2000s of them driving down the freeway. And it's this stretch of freeway for, I don't know, 15 seconds. No other cars there. There's no way that's realistic in anybody's vision.
Filmed at 5 a.m. on a Sunday.
Complete bull crap that. But anyway, here's the other little bit that I thought was interesting technically. Shot entirely on the new Red cameras with the Mysterium X chip. Now, why that's interesting is because that chip and its technology and its patent is owned by the Strauss brothers. So they're a weird pair, man. It made me want to know more about them. Like, just from a, like, who the hell are these guys? Like, they've got their hands in every special effects house ever, everywhere. And they poop out this one shitty movie, and then they're back to work on more cool stuff. And they own the patent on, like, the most popular filming gear in all of Hollywood right now. It's all about Red cameras right now. Like, that's that's a lot. If you're shooting digital, you're doing Red. That's what you use.
I was really, really impressed with Red in 2010 and 2011. But then I went to work at a company that has a lot of actual filmmakers and people who really, really know their stuff. And they taught me that, you know, Red has a bunch of drawbacks and they prefer to use other equipment entirely. And it kind of like, you know, like there's just you can't have it all in that kind of technology. You just can't.
Oh, no. You'll never. But there was a hot moment there where they were like, everybody, sure, all everyone was using them, and it was like,
and by the way, we gotta keep saying 2010, like, this is not a brand new movie. Mm-hmm. This is at the beginning of our existential dread phase in all of entertainment. Not right now. Like, right now we're trying to actually escape existential dread being the only thing anybody ever entertains us with. But back then, this was kind of new. This whole thing that it was going to slowly all go to hell, the whole movie, and end badly. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't everything in 2010 is what I'm saying.
No, that was, in fact, that's the year they started Walking Dead was 2010. So you're right. Like, the push into television in particular for apocalyptic storytelling as a new phase for us to go through or whatever, our little trend, hadn't really started, or it was just getting started. You know, maybe even Cloverfield predated that, but that was like, what, the year before or something, or a couple years before? Yeah. Whatever it was. But
like now, like,
yeah,
roll forward a couple of years and you just have so much entertainment that's just like, you know, people actually were bristling. You know, like, people who didn't have any idea what they were getting into with Game of Thrones were really bristling the first couple of seasons because it was killing off the characters they liked so fast. And they're like, I don't want my entertainment to be like this. But that's exactly where it was all going. This movie was actually sort of like, I don't want to say cutting edge in as far as that goes, because it's all very depressing. But it was at the front of a trend.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably true. This didn't set the trend, but it was early. Because nobody saw this.
Right? Mean,
it was a huge disappointment at the box office by most accounts, but they made money in the long term, like, because it was cheap, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All they had to do was make $10,500,000 more. Anything above that is...
Sharknado wished it had this kind of money.
Yeah. You know what I noticed? They almost had... I thought they were going to do it, and they didn't do it. I thought they were going to have the dog was a chicken moment, like on MASH with that dog. I thought the dog was going to... I thought he was going to smother the dog, and the dog would die.
He couldn't choke out Walt Jr. Buster. By the way, right? His name was Buster. Why was he wearing a sweater vest with a W on it for Walt? That was weird. Was that one of
last name? His name is Buster Walston.
Buster Waltz, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Walt Walston, fantastic.
Buster Walston.
Yeah,
it felt very strong to me that was Buster.
Yeah, but I kept thinking, oh, the dog's gonna die. And I don't think the dog actually died. He might be our chick in the bucket, because all it did was made old man McGillicuddy have to chase the dog, and then the robot got the old man, or the creature.
Did they, that's more questions. Did they want dog brains?
They got these little tiny four-legged aliens they're putting dog brains into. Yeah, like,
the flying ones that take drones out. Those are dog right. dog brains.
It happened in Invasion of the Body Snatchers with the weird dog, with the weird human head on the dog.
Yeah. That face on it.
I love that.
That's so good. I always love. That's one of our great film sack moments. I was going to say something about the 2010 nature. We were doing this show for a year when this came out, which is a weird feeling. Think of that for a second. This movie was brand new. It wasn't even out. It wasn't even a thing. They were filming it when we started film sack.
Right.
Think of that.
But we could feel it. We felt a disturbance in the forest, and we knew.
Yeah.
We had to start a podcast like this specifically to get here.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Early on in the movie, the aliens, I can't get away from this, but in the movie, they're sucking multiple people up like a vacuum, just tearing
Hooper.
Buildings apart and going. Brrr. So why were they cherry picking through the condo?
So they clearly have the technology to get lots and lots of brain carriers as fast as possible. Yeah. But they apparently their need was way higher than that. Like, and that's supposed to be something you realize and it fills you with dread. Like, wow, they came all this way. They got all those people and they're still needing so many more. But instead, it leaves you with this like, oh, they're kind of like ticky-tacky aliens who just kind of like, you know, like they came to LA, but like over in India, there's a billion people. Like what, you know, like it was stupid idiots, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I guess it was all going on in parallel, right? Because they jumped around a couple of cities. They were always U.S. cities, but.
Hong Kong.
They showed London, Hong Kong.
They did show London.
Yeah, London. You could see that carousel.
Yeah, and you saw Big Ben there and stuff. And then my favorite was the Vegas streets. That was cool. Yeah. Watch that get torn up.
This reminds me of their actions remind me of like eating a bag of M&Ms. Like, you know, you just, first of all, you just hoover in as many as you can. And then, you know, like digging around in the bag and just got to get those last
few.
You know
what?
And that's if you drop one under the couch, you're going for it.
That's not bad, actually.
Right.
That's I think that's the entire thing. I think they're sick of vacuuming. They're overwhelmed with it all. And they're like, you know, I don't know if I want any more of these. I'm going to find a good one.
I don't eat M&Ms like that, but I do eat Pringles like that. Yeah. The first third of the can come out in a stack.
Yeah.
And then after that, getting another one at a time. You're like, how long are my fingers growing right now that I keep getting one more and one more?
Yeah, maybe it's like that. Or it's like trying to find the sunflower seed that doesn't take as much work to open
or that
sort of thing. So you're just digging through these condos going, ugh, I'm so full, but I need another brain. I'll take this whole thing.
Let's go to the good part of town. This is where the rich brains live.
Right. Exactly.
I also think the movie really doesn't even want to portray the military. And it's like, we kind of have to, or it's so unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And so they do, but they don't really try. You know, the military is just like an afterthought and they're kind of useless, and that's sad to me because I like, if I could rewrite this movie halfway through it, all of the people that you've met so far would die, and then we pick up with the military guys doing badass things.
A whole different movie. Yeah,
like, see, there you go, the aliens half. Basically
yeah.
And if you're the military, is really the best place for you to go is on top of an apartment building several miles from where the spaceships are?
Yeah, and only three of you.
They bring a freaking battleship into the Santa Monica Harbor.
Yeah, right, no, yeah. They would have done so much more than they did. Putting three guys on the roof, flying a bunch of unmanned drones, and I don't know, that was the most tepid response I'd ever seen, but yeah.
But I got to say that I was getting pumped when that one stealth drone was going in and just flying through all this. That was some of the best dogfights I have seen in a movie.
Yeah, well, that's the special effects. That's the special effects. Right?
Totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah. All of that stuff looked great and was intense and awesome.
Well, I got to write this down.
Excited, by the way. It makes me very excited for Space Force.
Yeah, I'm Space, so glad we've Space got Force. Space Force. Oh, aren't you glad we've got a Space Force? Oh,
finally, man. Space Force.
Yeah.
I'm writing this down, though. There's a moment when I'm really liking this crappy movie. Oh, that's the special effects talking.
No, it's true. It's true. It's so true. All right, so there are two things that drove me absolutely up the wall, and I need to get them out. So here they are. You already know not to look at the blue light, but you keep staring at them all the time. You know not to do it. You've seen the effect.
It's a drug addict thing, kind of, right?
Is it? I don't think so. I think they're just trying to look, and then they're like, oh, shit, that's right. I get hooked on this when I look at it.
I'll bet I can look at the blue light this time. Yeah. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, that drove me crazy.
But that's always a good plot device in any story, because human nature is to look, right? Our curiosity really is.
Well, what's funny, no, I completely agree with you. Like, there's a real tension there to want to look. But that's what made, like, it's literally the basis for Bird Box, which is a good movie, unlike this. And Bird Box is great because they make an entire film about people having to force themselves not to look. Right. And they put blindfolds on all day and they have to go around blind or else they are going to have this. It was exactly the same idea, in fact. It's just if you look at it, suddenly your eyes get all weird and you get gross and
Bird
and you
Box,
kill yourself.
The new sequel to Skyline.
Exactly. Nobody knew Bird Box was a sequel to
the
Skyline.
The better sequel.
It totally is. And then the other thing that drove me crazy was this conversation, which I understand because you don't want to be smoking around people who are pregnant. But the "hey, stop smoking, I'm pregnant" bit, it made me laugh out loud, and here's why. Literally, the air everywhere in that condo and everywhere outside of it is now full of so many disgusting particulates, exploded out cement and garbage and junk, like 9/11 style, with like not only that, but you've got the dirty nuke that was used to try to destroy the ship. That was a huge mushroom cloud. There's no way that's not putting off at least some radiation. I'm thinking to myself,
alien farts.
Yeah, all of that stuff is in the air, and you're worried about her one cigarette. You got way bigger problems, lady. Way bigger. And you're also like, what, 2 weeks in to your pregnancy? Like, knock it off.
And this is what prompted me for my so many questions but distractions, which was to constantly build the tension of this invasion, but then occasionally to drop back into everyday worries to distract you from any, true questions.
That's, you just said it better than I did that whole thing. That's exactly what I was getting to. And it's so I understand the desire to do that, to kind of make it personal and human again, but you're being chased by big tentacled monster creatures that if you look at will kill you, and if they stab you, they'll kill you, and if they take your brain, they're going to kill you. Like, they have all of these reasons to die, plus all this crap you're going to be breathing in anyway, and you're worried about the cigarette. Like, stop it. Stop it.
I didn't hate that so much because, like, that's what you do when you're making a film. Titanic isn't about the boat and it isn't about the iceberg. It's about these people
about
and their idiosyncrasies and their new
Rose
relationships
and their love that will never die.
Yeah, it's about the necklace. Yeah, I get it.
And it's about sharing a platform.
But do you know what I mean? Like. As horribly cynical as this sounds, some filmmakers are going to sit around and say, well, what if we do Titanic, only it's an alien invasion that's killing off most of the people. And, the people are, still struggling with their interpersonal relationships and heartbreak and cheating. Right. Like I am trying really hard to not compare this movie to Titanic, but you can understand the filmmaker's thoughts when like, if you don't have all that stuff, if you don't have a character freaking out because she's just found out she's pregnant and there's a cigarette, then it's just a husk of a movie that's about some, aliens.
Yeah, I get that. And every movie needs to try to humanize its characters. That's how we relate to them. Otherwise, it's just unrelatable. But the better attempt here of making a small independent cost less involvement of studios kind of movie would be District 9 in my mind. That movie succeeds in doing, I know Dunaway's not a giant fan, but succeeds in doing what I think they set out to do, and it does it with both glorious special effects, but also a very humanized story about a weird alien thing. And that is to me, I couldn't help think of that movie this whole time I watched this, because I just thought, well, that's how you do it. Like, that over there was, that's what you're supposed to do. You still retain the blood and the guts and the freak out and the strange and the weird and the crazy, but you've humanized it on all these different levels. You've got the main, you know, human characters that are very humanized, but at the same time, you also have a great allegory going on here about, you know, separating society by class and race, and these aliens make it, you know, possible to talk about that in a science fiction movie without it being too politically, you know, of a hot button. Like, all those things, you're humanizing the hell out of it. This movie didn't know how to do that. This movie was just like, here's really cool stuff, and then dumb people talking, and then really cool stuff, and then dumb people talking. Like, it's just a constant.
That's where it failed for me too, because like you said earlier, Scott, the characters are not really likable, because we're putting these as, we set our whole situation at these very very vapid people. They're very, you know, they're the surface of society, of just no depth at all. So yeah, that made it harder to like.
Mm-hmm. Let's face it, for part of the movie we're rooting for the aliens.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
By the end, I was totally rooting for him, because I was like, okay, sweet, we're up inside the colon of this thing. Let's go.
And I have to ask, and I realize this might be a paradox of a question, but are they actually vapid people, or do they just look vapid? And by that I mean, maybe don't put insanely good-looking people in every role in your movie. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Right. Like, it's just like, I get it. Like, this is why they work in Hollywood as actors. But I couldn't help but think of the movie Sideways, and how when you think of wine snobs, you probably don't think of a dumpy looking balding guy. Mm-hmm. And so like that movie really turns you upside down from the start. And so then this person who kind of looks like the rest of us is sort of relatable. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's also a great, great, great actor.
Well, yeah, but that
like,
helps. Yeah.
For all I know, these could be really, really great actors. And I'm just like, man, they're so skinny. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And he's not going to drink the effing Merlot.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I mean, it irritated me that Eric Balfour's character, Jared, was this painter, and he was doing so, I guess he was doing well. He like he was doing really well for himself, not as good as Terry. And what was Terry doing?
I never understood any of it, because Terry would bring up things like, hey, you're good with computers. I'm like, wait, computers?
I thought
he's painting.
Yeah, I thought he was a painter,
like,
exactly.
What's he doing? Like, they never were clear
about
that.
We never did talk about it specifically, what the job was that he wanted him to come out and do, right?
Yeah. At first, right. It made it sound like,
you're my guy. I need you to do this.
Crew.
Yeah. At first, it made it sound like he was coming out there specifically for a job that he was going to get with him. And then when they had that horrible conversation at the party, the one guy says, oh, it's good to have you on the crew. And mm-hmm. then I thought, oh, is he disappointed, and is his girlfriend disappointed that, does the crew mean that's less than what he was supposed to do? Like, does that mean like the real crew?
No,
like you're
just,
on.
It was just the surprise that that he was getting invited out there for a job, and that he hadn't talked to her about it yet.
And did he know and she didn't? Was that the deal?
No, they both found out at that point that that's the reason that he
was
out there.
Well, then why was she so bitchy to him about it then?
She assumed that he knew and didn't tell her.
Oh.
And he was just finding out about it at that moment as well.
Okay. Also, apparently,
I can't believe I'm explaining this stupid movie.
Apparently, the instant you get pregnant, your hormones turn you into someone who doesn't know regular things and questions everything.
Right, exactly.
Like, really, they were really pushing that angle. Like, that she was, she was just a caricature. It's a shame.
Yeah. Maybe the whole movie's just her having a bad dream in her early pregnancy with morning sickness.
Right, like a weird pregnancy fever dream.
Yeah, that'd have been great if she woke up from it at the end, and I would have liked the movie better. I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have, but right now talking about it, I think I would like the movie better if they ended it that way.
It was all just a dream.
Yeah, it's very weird. All right,
one last trope.
Yeah, no kidding. I've got some clips. They're short, though, because honestly, the movie doesn't have great dialogue, even dumb dialogue. It's just kind of talking. Yeah. So, and then action, tons of action with no talking. So I got like five of these.
Apparently the least effective way to hang sheets up in your windows.
Oh yeah, for sure. Right? Oh
my gosh, dude. Give me a break with the blinds. I'm so tired. I watched this movie yesterday. When it was over, I was tired of worrying about the blinds. Mm-hmm. I went to bed worrying about the blinds. I woke up this morning and I'm like, can we please stop worrying about the blinds?
Yeah.
How is this like linen hanging between you and doom? Right. How is it like?
The one piece of fabric separates life from death.
Right. Well, it's you're not wrong. Like, the blinds drove me crazy while they were happening, while they weren't happening, and while they were trying to replace them with a blanket. And I just thought, stop it.
Did I miss the most obvious? Did I miss? I feel like I watched this movie fairly well, but did I go and pee or something when they explained exactly what Skyline was? Did I miss it? No, I think it's
just you're looking outside.
For starters,
there it is. There's
I just want you to know that Netflix can pause, so you can
right,
go pee.
Right, but no, I don't pause these kind of movies.
Okay, you're a very strange man. So, so
no, I just want to get it over with.
Yeah. Right.
So it's just like a word that some people use to describe what you see when you live in a really high flat and you look out. Like, that's all. That's the so many times in the movie someone looks out of the windows at the skyline. That's it.
Well, I get that. And that's what I thought too. But
I know
still
what a skyline is.
It's a dumb
I just
name.
Didn't understand. Was it because it was their perspective? I didn't understand.
It's just a dumb. It's just a dumb title. I think it's a bad title. So I'm with Dunaway here. It could have been a better title.
I agree. I was hoping that there was going to be an alien animated Nissan Skyline car that came.
Yeah, I'm just annoyed by that as well. All right, here's your clips. This starts with, I have been known to enjoy, not enjoy. I kind of hate it actually. It's my gross moment of the movie. But you know, when a movie goes all out to give me a well made barf, I'll capture it. So I did. Here's a well-made barf. There you go. Letting it loose right there.
I'm telling you.
Out of the way quickly for this movie.
I so want to be sound crew for just one time. I want to go with a really good encapsulated microphone recording system into a bathroom with a freaking open can of vegetable soup and pour it into the... Like, you could just hear... Mm-hmm. You can hear the veggie soup coming out of the can and right into the can. Seriously, play it.
I think our first... I think our more... Our best one that we ever did was John Goodman in that movie about the writer. What was that called?
Barton Fink.
Barton Fink. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play that again just for fun. Just really laid into it on
that. That one sounds like a glass of water being poured in.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the full chunky Campbell's texture that I'm looking for.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Well, that's the new one.
Was that the Skyline one?
Yeah, okay. That's the one I just played. All right.
That doesn't sound like her puking. That sounds like a dude, like a key grip. Oh, I could do a good puking sound.
Yeah, let's see. It doesn't sound like her, does it? She's a lovely girl, but all I kept thinking the whole movie was like, man, you need a mint after all that.
Every single person in the movie, you just got the feeling that they had bad breath. Yeah. Everyone.
But her in particular, because she had puked and then on went the day.
They'd never unpacked her toothbrush.
No.
Did anybody else really like the time-lapse shot?
No.
Oh, the panning across the apartment while they're all getting up, sitting down, walking around,
No.
It was so useless, so pointless. It was like, you know what, I wanted to do one of those time-lapse things. Oh, let's do it for this film.
Yeah, that's how I agree with Ibbot. I hate it.
I liked it, and I particularly liked it from the actor's perspective, where they're like, we're going to take a 30-minute single shot. And you just need to sit around and drink booze and move and look out the window. Like, I thought that was like,
That's all I could think about was that telling the actors, okay, the camera's over here now. So you got to go over and sit on this couch and look pensive and then get up and walk around. And,
and they have that little tiny, they have that camera just slowly moving, right? Isn't that how that works?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's on a track.
Like, seems like
and
a normal
you have
pan.
To stay out in front of it and you have like, it goes for like an hour. And like they just move around here now and then. Like I don't know why. I thought that was a lot of fun. I was like, I want to make that shot. Like screw the rest of this movie.
It was okay. It was a nice mix up because there was a lot of slow-mo shots, a lot of shots that kind of were alienating. So this one, that didn't bother me too much. I liked the mix up.
I don't mind it. I just don't think it mattered because in the end of it, right after the end of it, what's his name's in the bathroom looking at his, his spreading disease. And then he comes back out.
His alien chest hair.
He comes back out in the whatever his name is. I can't think of his name. The guy from Dexter says, sit down and relax. You're fine. Just everyone relax. And I'm thinking, you just showed me a shot of everyone doing that in high speeds time lapse. You can't just act like nobody's been sitting around. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's where it broke for me. And that's why it bugged me. All right, here's some kind of something. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, well, you should have thought about that before you shot the piece of shit.
Oh, I just like that line. That's what it was.
Are they talking about the director?
Yeah.
Right.
They just kept it in. It's like,
Speaking of shooting pieces of shit, man, I swear if Terry, Turk from Scrubs, shot that little pistol one more time.
Oh, yeah, he's into it.
It felt very Harlem Nights there, Randy. What'd you think?
Mm. Oh, God. It was like... The whole thing, we're trapped on the roof. Why would you let go of the door? I thought you had the door. Oh, guys.
It's like a Benny Hill skit up there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, there's no way. Yeah. I'm sorry. Then they're shooting at the door. No.
How did the door get open again? Oh, she was there. She opened it?
Yeah. Okay. She looked directly into the light. Yeah.
This movie is is filled with the trope of somebody coming in at the last second. Yeah. Like it happens so many times you get tired of it.
You get numb to it. I forgot how much there was until you just said that. All right, here's some really bad dialogue. This is at that party. I don't know why. Again, there's hardly any dialogue in the latter half of the movie, so most of it I got early in. What's there is not great, but here you go. Listen to this.
Hey, is this the boy Wonder?
Yeah.
And his lovely lady. Yeah. Right. Hey, it's good to meet you, man.
Ugh, gosh, dang it.
This lovely lady.
I'm really trying hard to be the guy from Nakatomi Plaza who says, Bubby.
Every movie's got to have that guy. Actually, Chick in the Bucket there, he never showed up again. He seemed like he was supposed to be a part of things. And then
he got sucked up early on, right?
Yeah, he was out of there. Here's this one. What's this? Oh, this is one of the lines.
They're not dead. They're just really, really pissed off.
Oh, you don't know that.
Yeah. No, he doesn't know anything. He says things, but he doesn't know. Yeah. Here's the Wilhelm scream. There you go.
I was kind of surprised to hear that when I heard it. I was like, 2010, we're still doing that?
Yeah. Got shot off the thing and there was no stopping.
Movies, we still have it, don't we? Like in current movies where they put the stupid Wilhelm. I'm done with the Wilhelm scream.
I'm completely, it just don't distracts need that me. Anymore. Distracts me. You hear it and you go, oh man, that's right. This is a movie made by people who think they're clever. F you. All right, let's do this. Film sack checklist. It goes a little something like this. Matrix tentacles, check. A tiny dog will always get you killed, check. And save a crap ton of money by filming the whole thing in your own house, check. Star Trek connections are interesting. I could have sworn the old guy with the dog was in Star Trek, and part of that comes from his IMDb photo where he looks like a Star Trek alien. But according to Daryl, he's not in Star Trek, and I didn't take the time to look. But if you guys want to look up, what's his name? Where is it? Robin Gamble. He played Walt. Great IMDb photo. He looks like Walt. Some other show that was a science fiction show, but he has like a Star Trek alien head and everything. I was sure it'd be him, but it wasn't. Instead, we have Scotty Thompson, the pregnant girlfriend. She played Elaine in the 2009 Star Trek from J.J. Abrams. She plays Nero's wife in that. Nero played by Eric Bana, if you remember. J. Paul Bomer, who played Colin. He's the guy in the garage with his wife that freaked out and he got sucked and then let go and then killed again.
I don't need your help.
Yeah, that's the guy. He played a Cardassian in DS9. He played two different dudes in Voyager and two different dudes in Enterprise, including a Nazi SS officer in the episode Zero Hour and Stormfront on Enterprise. So that guy was busy doing Star Trek. Here he was a... Just a guy to die.
I'm going to say that picture that you're looking at of Robin Gamel with that thing on his head that makes him look like he's in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Is from Star Trek. That is Star Trek Next Generation.
It's got to be, right?
And I've got the link to prove it.
It has to be.
Why didn't Daryl catch that one? Daryl.
I don't know.
Daryl.
I don't know.
Daryl, push their buttons better or whatever you do to get these.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. I thought we had a Film Sac group thing. There it is right there. Putting it right there. And you're going to find it right there. And click that. That is Robin Gamel in Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Good job. Good catch.
Why is it not?
Well, I was trying to figure out what, if that wasn't from Star Trek, what the heck was that from? Because that's the classic Star Trek, let's glue stuff to somebody's forehead to make an alien.
Totally. I thought maybe Babylon 5, but you're right. It's TNG.
Yeah.
And it was episode.
The episode was called Attached from 1993.
Okay. Yeah, Daryl, come on, man. IMDb photo and everything. I just like to give him heat.
Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher discover things about one another when they are captured by an opposing alien race due to the fact that the Enterprise has come to allow the planet's other civilization the choice of being part of the Federation.
Hubba hubba. Discover things about each other.
Learn things about each
other. Oh, I remember that. They're both injured. And there's a whole episode where they're just nursing each other back to health and trying to survive. Mm. It's actually pretty good. It's a decent episode.
Nursing back to health.
She never once says, oh, no. She never says that.
By the way,
yeah.
A couple weeks ago on FilmSack, I started raving about the Orville and talking about how it's out Star Trekking Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Ooh, there's some people who do not agree. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. People see it as a very encroaching thing. When you approach their Trek fandom and say there's something better than that they think is a parody of Trek, they get pissed. Right. Yeah,
I think if you like The Next Generation, I think this is a perfect place to continue that. If you want to, you know, look at something beyond that, then yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but also, I don't think it's a bad comparison.
It's not it's not 100% just a send up. It's weird. It's like it's parody, but it's not. It's a weird thing, that show. And I don't know why people
have to get
so... absolutely
not parody. There's a lot more homage. There's a lot more love letter writing. But it's also its own thing. Like, this is its own thing.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's really good. Like, the outcome of it is really good. I still say the show is way better than it has any right to be, considering who's making it, who's starring in it, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But, like, somehow what actually shows up on TV is really freaking good. Mm. And I would not be surprised to see it get that one episode in particular from 3 weeks ago get nominated for Emmy. Oh. And I just think I think it's okay to like things, you know, like where I always want to push back is when all you can do is go around tearing stuff down. Right. Yeah. I'm not saying Star Trek Discovery is bad. I'm just saying it's not as good as this.
Well, this new season of Discovery is sure getting raves. So
I'm loving the new season, the current season of Discovery.
I think everybody should just like the things they like. I agree. Yeah.
And if you don't like it, that's totally cool too.
Yeah. If you don't like it, that's fine. If you like it, great. If I like something you don't like, you don't have to come at me.
Exactly. That just means more for you.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, more for me. Thanks. Yeah. Aww. Nice of you. More for me.
Look what
we've
done.
And the great thing about entertainment is that it's not a buffet that's only getting stocked once. Mm-hmm. We can all have as much or as little as we want.
We've solved everything in one fell swoop. I just want to end it on a positive note there. All right. Where was I? Oh, soundtrack, great. I give it an A for the effects. I thought they were amazing. Really good, amazing effects, sound stuff. Sound mixing, all of it. Really good.
Oh, sound effects. Okay.
Yeah, yes. But music, boring and uneventful.
Yeah,
boring.
It's nothing about it that was interesting. Although every once in a while...
it was done by the guy with the Casio in 21B.
Yeah, it is, the guy next door. We're friends. He'll do it. But yeah, like there was a quality to it. And I don't mean the quality and like the quality of it. I mean like the sound of it almost sounded like the Avengers theme occasionally. So that whole, that whole thing. Every once in a while I'd hear the Avengers theme kind of start in their music and then it would go away. And I'd be like, all right, that's not the Avengers theme. That was weird. Anyway.
There's something I love about that Avengers theme, and I think it's mostly the memes that have been done with that music.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're watching that app still, that app is full of those. That
you never think it's so great. Yeah.
So many of those.
I love that.
It's really good. It's perfect. It's just the thing of our day. Well done. Yeah. All right, let's get to the Twitter post, 280 characters or less, where you guys sum up this film. Let's start with Randy Jordan.
Skyline, a couple of supermodels travel across the country to party with other sexy people and get pregnant and then end up holed up with Jon Favreau's Hispanic twin brother, Juan Favreau. And they all drink all the remaining booze, just like a Saturday night at Ibbotown.
Oh, I knew it was coming. I keep not seeing it coming.
But I did not see that coming.
I feel like I should have saw it coming. Should have saw it. All right. Well, there you go. Let's now move over to Brian Dunaway.
Skyline. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is this movie like aliens impregnating your city skyline would bring abducting aliens for Lord knows what? Too many questions.
Right. Hashtag.
Hashtag too many questions.
There you go. Then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Skyline. Red brain, yellow brain, blue brain, no brain.
Perfect.
Oh, Dr. Infinite.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That was really good, actually.
Nice.
Well, on that note, just been handed these alternate titles. It was almost called Sky Lame. See?
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Or Mustache McGee Takes on the Aliens. Today, I'm not doing emails. Instead, I'm doing phone calls. Oh. We got voicemails. Ooh. Yeah. And these will be fun to play here on the show. Oh, it would help if I move them in here. Okay, here we go. Here's one that we got about Mark Hamill. And you'll understand as I play it. Here you go.
I am Sci-Fi calling. Just listened to the Logan's Run episode and felt like I needed to leave a voicemail real quick before I forgot. Dunaway mentioned that whenever he sees Mark Hamill in a film, he is very, very happy. And Scott mentioned that he feels like Mark Hamill is always going to be Luke Skywalker. Well, Mark Hamill is something else to me. The Joker. And he's played him a lot over the years. Mark Hamill's become one of the most prolific voice actors I can possibly think of. Not only just being there, but also being in stuff like Avatar The Last Airbender, and especially going to be in the new Invincible animated series coming to Amazon pretty soon. Ooh. So, not just Luke to me. Most definitely also the Joker.
All right. Did you have any idea they were doing an Invincible animated thing?
I did not. And with no regard to making a joke about what I'm about to say, that definitely pricked up my ears.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited about it. I think it sounds great. All right, we got one more call. This one's also about the movie.
Mark Hamill?
Logan's Run.
Oh, Logan's Run. Okay.
Related to that, so here you go.
This is Desiree. I was calling on in regards to the Logan's Run episode. I wanted to mention that my mom loves that movie. She loves it so much that she told me that she was going to name me Logan if I was born a boy, which I may have a little talk with my mom. But anyhow, I wanted to know, if you guys were born a girl, what do you think your mom would have named you based on her favorite movie, actor, or song writer, or whatever?
Oh, I love this.
I'd love to hear your answer.
All right, Desiree, thank you for the call. And this one's an easy one for my mom, but I can't think of his name. So you guys remember, not Samurai, what was it called? Shogun. Mm-hmm. Who's the guy in Shogun?
Richard Chamberlain?
Yes. She would have called me Richard for Richard Chamberlain if I was a girl. Now, if I was a guy, I am a guy. So since I was born a guy and it would have been a lady, that gets a little trickier. Cause my mom was always like, oh, Tom Selleck, he sure is a handsome whatever. Or, oh, so-and-so, he's sure good. She never talked about female performers or actors. So it's a lot harder for me from that angle. I'll just guess something though. I'll say probably Julie for Julie Andrews, because she was obsessed with Julie Andrews, or possibly Streisand. So what's her first name?
Barbara.
I could have been Barbara.
Yeah, my mom had love-hate with Barbara Streisand. She was like enthralled with her as a singer and a performer and all that, but my mom lived her whole life in a very conservative place where you're supposed to hate Barbara Streisand for being a liberal. Mm. And so it was like hard for my mom. But wow. since I'm going, she absolutely loved Carol Burnett. I would have been named Carol under those circumstances. I was actually told that I was named after some distant relatives that had passed away shortly before I was born. But I was told that if that hadn't happened, I was going to somehow be named for Robert Redford. My mom thought Robert Redford was the sexiest, most perfect human being that was ever made.
Oh, my mom too. They're definitely of the same cut. Yeah. Robert. So Rob, you're almost Robert Jordan, and that's a name of
Or maybe Redford is a first name.
Oh, Redford Jordan. That's even cooler. You'd have to write novels or something though, right?
Yeah. Luckily for me, and it's not an actress, but you know, there is a feminine form of Brian. It's Brianna or Brianna. So that was pretty easy. But she, you know, she liked to watch the scary movies early on. So I don't know if she would have went with the actress's name, but she might have called me Rosemary from Rosemary's Baby.
seems like that's like the wrong connection you like to make with your child. Yeah.
I love that you have this connection. Spawn. But this is a cool connection to have with your mom, because you're known for your love of horror.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that your mom was sort of into it. She,
especially during that age when I was real young, she was more into that. She can't stand them now. She hates them. Mm. But I remember we went to the drive-in. I've told the story before, I believe, but, she took me to the drive-in and she saw I was asleep in the back seat, and I must've been 3 or 4, and we saw The Exorcist. And,
That'll ruin you.
When I say we saw, it was more like I just occasionally I saw some things.
Yeah. Amityville Horror was that for me, the drive-in movie that had the scariest effect on me. I probably, you know, it's funny. My mom had a big, long list of male names. Chandler. I was almost a Chandler.
Wow.
Believe it or not. Wow. I don't remember any of the female names that she had, but she was a fan of Phoebe Snow, the music of Phoebe Snow at the time. So I could have seen being a Phoebe.
Oh my gosh. Phoebe or Chandler? Are you kidding
me? Phoebe or Chandler. I could have been one third of Friends.
Were you almost a Monica for a hot second? My gosh.
Who knows? I could have been.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That would have been really funny, because obviously that would have been before Friends, and you would have just be stuck with the Friends legacy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, there were worse names, worse characters to be named after.
I don't know any Rosses in real life. So that would be.
Oh, I do.
Do you? I don't know any Rosses.
Oh, I know lots of Rosses. I work in an office full of Rosses.
The very first guy I was paired up with in college, I moved into the temporary dorm room because they didn't have my dorm room ready. Mm-hmm. His name was Ross. And so he and I were only roommates for a week, 1 week. And that somehow, like going to college far away and being thrown with a person, like that pinned us together forever. Mm-hmm. And his name was Ross.
Oh, wow. Brian, Ibbett, your mom should have named you Danny Torrance. I think
that should have been. Right, that would have been perfect.
That would have been an easier, you would have gotten that job.
Or Marcel.
Yeah.
Marcel was probably.
Another Friends reference. Fantastic. All right. That's going to do it for those calls. Thank you for those. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. If you'd like to leave a voicemail for the show, we'd be happy to play them here. Or you can do the traditional thing. Send us emails, filmsack@gmail.com. Our next movie will be The Effect of the Butterfly, or as it was called in theaters, The Butterfly Effect.
Mm.
That's right. Ashton Kutcher made a movie.
Mm-hmm. He did.
At the time, people were like, oh, I'm going to go see something that's wacky. It'll be a zany. Nope, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's not a horror movie. What would we call this? It's like a
thriller. It's a thriller,
psychological thriller.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Never saw it. I have no idea what I'm getting into here. So I mean, did you see part two? No,
how about part three?
I haven't seen any of it. I assume it's about the actual butterfly effect, which I do know what that is. But
thanks to Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park,
right?
If the water drips down the hand to crevices,
and there's no step three.
Yeah, you are going to actually have dinosaurs on the tour, right? Yeah, like
I got to use that line when we were in Vegas. By the way, we went to the Flamingo Hotel because they specifically have wildlife habitat behind them. And there used to be penguins in there. It's free to go into, and it's not even advertised hardly anymore. But you go through the casino, and then the back says wildlife habitat, and you go back there. And we walked around for maybe about 20 minutes, and I said, you are planning on having wildlife in your wildlife habitat. My uncle started laughing.
That's good.
And finally, we rounded a corner and we found like swans and turtles and weird looking ducks and stuff like that.
I would have
weird
laughed.
Looking ducks.
I would have laughed at all of that as well. That's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, we'll do that next week. It's the Ashton Kutcher psychological thriller, The Butterfly Effect.
That butterfly show is what it's going to be called.
Yeah, that butterfly show.
Oh my God.
It'll be.
and I love that. I love when we first started talking about it, Scott. This was off the air here. Scott was like, I said, "There's Amy Smart's in this movie," and Scott's like, "Does she take her top off?"
I don't think I said it quite like that.
No, that was me actually. Oh, I think you said, okay. "I hope she keeps her top." Did she keep her top on?
Oh yeah, that was it. But see, misappropriation of thought funds.
Oh, my. I think I'm accurate. I think my memory is more accurate than. Okay. And your feelings.
Fair enough. If only I'd ever recorded this, then we would have proof, but I didn't. I forgot to.
Nope.
It's all right. The government records everything we say over this, so they'll have it.
That's true.
So weird.
So there you go. Go to filmsack.com in the meantime. That's our website. You got links to everything there. People are always like, wait, where are all the old shows? Oh, they're on the feed. You just got to go sub to it. It's all there at filmsack.com. And if you're feeling spicy, you can leave us that voicemail, 801-471-0462. Leave us an email, filmsack@gmail.com. And you can leave us reviews on wherever you get your podcast. That'd be fantastic. You can also follow us on Twitter, @FilmSack. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Jared.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.